97.5, The Fanatic.
Yeah, that's a big dog hunt again, back to back. 9 a.m. Good morning, Philadelphia. Joe Stazak in the house till noon. I was just here last night. Seems like we just did this. Let's do it again. Looking forward to it. Had a great time last night with all y'all. I am here in my little studio, my little quarantine studio, wiping down. I feel like I'm in Watergate, like wiping down everything, you know, trying to get rid of all fingerprints and all DNA and everything that was here before me to keep a clean area. We're not even using windscreens anymore for some reason. They're sitting on the desk, so I'll leave mine off. Hope it sounds okay to you all. 901 here at 97.5 The Fanatic. Got a good show for you today. We'll continue our talk about the Eagles free agency, and I want to talk a little bit about Howie Roseman a little bit. Feeling pretty good. Feeling pretty awake. Had a little bit of a rough night. I go home. You know, I'm all wound up from the show and, you know, caffeinated as well from the show. And I say, I know I have some Xanax-like stuff in my wife's safe. She, you know, she has all my, I've had 13 surgeries in the last 10 years, and she has all my leftover Vicodins, all my leftover Oxycontins, you know, keeps them away from me. Not that I need them. I don't think they do much anyway. But I said, I know there's some stuff in there that can help me sleep. I got to get down. I can't be up all night. I got to get up early. I want to prep. I have some ideas for tomorrow's show, blah, blah, blah. So I pull out this stuff called the diazepam or something like that. I'm like, yeah, that's like a Xanax, right? That'll help me sleep a little bit. So I pop a couple. She's like, she looks it up. She's like, it's Valium. You just took Valium. I'm like, really? Well, that'll put me down, right? I said, the only downside is it makes me hungry. When I take a Xanax or anything like that that kind of mellows me out, I will find my face in the refrigerator eating anywhere from 7,000 to 10,000 calories worth of food. I wake up at 4:30 just because I don't sleep. I wake up, I go downstairs, start watching more Forensic Files. You know, again, if I see another show of Forensic Files, my head's going to explode. I start prepping, and you know, I'm kind of hungry. You know, this stuff makes me a little hungry. I'm wide awake. It's worn off, but it makes me hungry. Last week, I was really sick. I got really sick before the show. I wasn't on. I wasn't on Sunday. Coach was going to pull me this week, too. My wife goes out and buys, she knows I like Häagen-Dazs. I like ice cream, period. I can eat any ice cream. I can eat Ben & Jerry's, Breyers, Turkey Hill, Wawa, Wig. It doesn't matter. But I do like Häagen-Dazs. So she comes home with not just like one pint of like vanilla Swiss almond, which is my favorite. She comes home with like 7 pints and a big thing of dulce de leche. I'm like, you're killing me. I'm trying to cut down. Can you see my waistline getting bigger and bigger? As you know, because it usually does in the winter anyway. Then I start cutting down around March, April, May. But I need to start cutting down now because I also have a love affair with rice pudding, which I can't put down. Anyway, not one, not two, but 3 pints of Häagen-Dazs I ate. It was beautiful until it was over. It was beautiful as it was happening. I had caramel de leche with chocolate chunks. I had vanilla Swiss almond, and I had dulce de leche. And I think there's 80 grams of fat in each pint, so that would be 240 grams of fat. Thank you very much. Probably anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000 calories. So I'm feeling a little bloated today. But I do feel awake because I did get some sleep. Not much, but I don't sleep much anyway. So I'm wide awake. I started prepping around 4:30 last night. Got a little bit more sleep. Wife comes down at 7:20. What are you doing? You got to be on air at 8 o'clock. I'm like, what? I can't. I'm like, what are you talking? I'm like, I'm on at 9. Can we all relax? I'm on at 9 o'clock, all right? I'm cool. I know what I'm doing. I get up to take a shower, do some more prep, and I'm here, and I am excited to be here. And I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, the Eagles a little bit more. Nothing has happened overnight. No games were played. Sports Armageddon continues. I still haven't gotten your take on your go-to activity at night these days. Is it listening to sports radio? Is it trying to get your fix? Is it watching SportsCenter? I watch SportsCenter to see, since I used to be in television, and I know about production value, and I know how hard it is sometimes when you need to put together elements of a show and you just don't have them. You have to kind of create them out of nothing. And so that's why I watch SportsCenter, to see what they do. And they're fabulous at it. They just are. You know, they have good guests on to talk about the same stuff every 14 minutes. And they just make the show go for an hour, and then they'll replay it, and then they'll replay it again, and then they'll replay it again, and then maybe they'll have a new episode at noon. But it's the same stuff. But it is impressive how they do it. We're trying to do the same thing here. We're trying to make put together some good shows for you. So a lot of stuff good, a lot of good things, and some not so good things happen recently with Eagles free agency. I have said last night, and I went on record, I said I don't think they're as good today as they were before free agency began, before the tampering period began March 16th. I just don't. But I think that they still have time to do some things. Like, I liked the Darius Slay move, fine. One of the best cornerbacks in the league. They needed that. Gave up a couple picks for him. They still have to draft well, which is my issue, and I will talk about that in a little bit. I like the Javon Hargrave move, except it seems like every year they keep trying to, Howie keeps trying to partner up Fletcher Cox with a sidekick, and it hasn't worked, and they keep doing it every year. It was Tim Jernigan, he gets hurt. It was Malik Jackson, he gets hurt. Now it's Javon Hargrave. Looks like a good move. 3 years, $39 million, not my money. Let's hope it works, because the way Jim Schwartz works his defense, he likes his front four to get home, which they don't very often. And I've always thought, and I still will always think, that Fletcher Cox is a little overrated. And I know I might get some kickback on that, but I do think he's overrated. I never thought he was Ndamukong Suh or Aaron Donald or just a havoc wreaker. He's a good player, but just not as destructive as I would like my star. And he is the star on defense. Him and Malcolm Jenkins, rest in peace, no longer here. But, you know, I wanted to talk about Howie because I'm a little disappointed. He didn't do a whole lot in free agency, in my opinion. In my opinion. Again, I mentioned what he did, but I also have to mention, you know, what happened in terms of who they lost. And, you know, they did lose Malcolm Jenkins to New Orleans for just a little bit more money. I think they could have worked something out there, but we had Steve Callis come on last night, and he's going to be on at 10 o'clock today, 10 after 10 today. Again, we're going to talk, we're going to break down some other things. We broke down the NFC East last night, but he talked about a spitting match, and maybe it did get into kind of a spitting match, because the money seemed nominal. When he went to New Orleans, he got $8 million a year. He did get a $9 million signing bonus, but he was looking for $13 million a year. Okay, so he gets $26 million, $25 million in his first 2 years, but that's with the signing bonus. He could have got a signing bonus here. You know, I don't quite get that. And I know he loves it here, and I believe he really, really loved it here in Philadelphia. And fans embraced him, and he embraced the fans, and there was a whole love affair with Malcolm Jenkins. I'm going to not totally put it on the same plateau as Brian Dawkins, but it was second. I think that he's the second favorite safety that's ever been here. I know Wes Hopkins, all due respect, but Malcolm Jenkins helped win a Super Bowl. Brian Dawkins never did that. Wes Hopkins never did that. Wes Hopkins won one playoff game here. And I know he was loved, number 48. Number 20 was loved, Hall of Famer. But, I mean, Malcolm Jenkins, heart and soul of this team. The heart and the soul of this team. and he's no longer here. And I think that will have an effect. It'll have an effect in the locker room. He was, you know, he was the guy. He was the go-to guy. He was the guy to go to look for leadership. And he did a great job with it. And he's no longer here, and that is unfortunate. Jordan Howard, everyone knows how I feel about Jordan Howard. I have a love affair with Jordan Howard. He's no longer here. He took a two-year, $10 million deal in Miami, a team who I think is on the rise, considering what a turnaround, considering their first two games last year where they lost by a total of almost 90 points, 94 points, something like that. They won five of their last nine games. I mentioned this last night. They went 5-9 down the stretch. Your team, your town, your New England Patriots went 4-5 down the stretch, including the last season, the game-ending, the season-ending loss to the Dolphins that knocked them out of a first-round bye. So I think they're a team on the rise. Byron Jones went there. I think they're in the market for a quarterback. You know, the Eagles lost Nigel Bradham, their best linebacker. I think the exodus kind of trumped the influx of new blood for this team. But it's not over. It's just beginning. We've just begun the free agency period. I know we're kind of, it's kind of drying up. Now we have the draft. My problem is with the draft. Well, there's a lot of problems with the draft. Howie's not a good drafter. He's just not. They need a wide receiver. All right, let's talk about that first. They need a wide receiver. By the way, 610-632-0975. Mike and King of Prussia, I see you holding on there. I'll get to you in 1 second. They need a wide receiver or two or three. DeSean Jackson will be back. Nelson Aguilar should not be here when the season starts. Nelson Aguilar. Did I say Nelson Aguilar or Alshon Jeffrey? Alshon Jeffrey should not be here. Nelson Aguilar is with Vegas now. DeSean Jackson should be healthy. They need a lot of help in that area. Since 2010, and I will give him a break for 2015 when he got, you know, sent to the other end of the building wearing the dunce hat, still getting paid $1.7 million per year, but having to sit in a corner and watch Chip Kelly run the team in 2015. Aside from that, here's who Howie Roseman has drafted in terms of your wideouts. This is drafting. This isn't free agency. This is drafting. Marvin McNutt, this is since 2010. Marvin McNutt, to try to stop laughing, and then I'll get to number two. Josh Huff, Jordan Matthews. Not only did they draft him, they signed him like five times last year. Riley Cooper, Nelson Aguilar, which is a 2015 pick. That was Chip Kelly, really, so we can't count that. And that was actually an okay pick. Wasn't a great pick. He played well in the Super Bowl, so I give him a lot of slack because of the way he played in the Super Bowl that year and the way he came back from the lack of confidence and the way he was playing, and he looked like, you know, I called him a total bust, and then he plays well in the Super Bowl year, and then he kind of regresses a little bit. But anyway, Shelton Gibson, Mac Hollins, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Let me go over that again. Marvin McNutt, Josh Huff, Jordan Matthews, Riley Cooper, Shelton Gibson, Mac Hollins, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Those are your wide receivers, ladies and gentlemen, since 2010 through the draft, through Howie Roseman, all right? Let's talk about running backs, shall we? Let's talk about the running backs a little bit because they finally landed one. They landed two and they got rid of one. I thought it was an unbelievable job by Howie, and he does a good job with trades and free agents. He went out and got Jordan Howard for a six-round pick. I'm still disappointed he's no longer here, but Miles Sanders had a phenomenal year, over 800 yards on the ground, over 500 yards through the air. He had a sensational year. He was an impact player. He was an impact player. Not a first-round pick. A second-round pick, but an impact player, and that's what they need, and that's what they haven't had for years and years and years. They have not had impact players in the top three rounds, and I'll get to that in a little bit, if you're willing to hang with me. Here's their running back selections since 2010 minus 2015. Like I mentioned, that was Chip Kelly's year to be the GM. Charles Scott, Stanley Havili. Am I saying that right? Havili? H-A-V-I-L-I. Stanley Havili. Deion Lewis turned out to be okay with New England. Couldn't make it here. Bryce Brown, who I liked out of Tennessee, seventh round pick. He played a little bit here. Could play a little bit, but not, you know, not NFL worthy, really. Wendell Smallwood, who became a guy that really kind of filled in the year that everyone else was hurt. And he did okay. But he's not, no. We're not counting Wendell Smallwood as a good selection in the fourth round. Donnell Pumphrey, remember him, the all-time leader in yards from scrimmage in the NCAA. Did nothing, couldn't make the team. And then, of course, Miles Sanders. I'll give him Miles Sanders. Good job, Miles Sanders. The other problems they have had has been their secondary. Since Lito Shepard and Sheldon Brown were selected, go back even further, the Brian Dawkins selection, they've had trouble in the secondary. They've never had that 1-2 punch. They've never had that stability at those positions. And here's why. Let me go over the secondary, and a lot of these guys weren't even named cornerback or safety. A lot of them, when I looked over them, were named defensive backs. Some of them were specifically named cornerbacks. Some were specifically named safeties. But since 2010, Kurt Coleman, Trevard Lindley, Nate Allen was the Donovan pick, if you remember. Curtis Marsh, Jaquan Jarrett, that stud out of Temple. Brandon Boykin, Jordan Poyer, Earl Wolf. Now, these were in 2015. These were Chip Kelly guys. Randall Evans, Ja'Cory Shepherd, who got hurt. He was from Kansas State, I believe, busted up his knee. Eric Rowe, who they got rid of, ended up playing for New England. Jalen Mills. Now, we're back with Howie. Jalen Mills, okay. Probably second round talent, got him in the seventh round because he's a little bit of a knucklehead off the field. But he's been okay. He's been a guy. Did a nice job in the Super Bowl. Now they're moving him to safety for reasons unexplained at this point. Blake Countess, Rasul Douglas, who they're shopping, who's kind of been playing out of position, if you ask me. I think he's more suited to be a safety, but he is a ball hawk. 8 interceptions his last year at West Virginia. He does do that. He had 3 interceptions, I think, his first year here. Sidney Jones, the value pick. The next, Sheldon Brown, Lito Shepherd. Sidney Jones out of Washington rips up his Achilles on pro day. Should never have been doing a pro day considering he was a top 10 pick as it was. His agent should have been fired immediately, if not sooner. He hasn't amounted to anything. He's been a bust. And Avante Maddox, who's been, he's a guy. Avante Maddox is a guy. Can play a little bit, but he's a guy. You need stars to win in this league. You need stars, and you need to not miss on basically everybody. All right, I went over the wide receivers, the cornerbacks, and the running backs. Okay, they hit on Miles Sanders. Let me see, wide receivers, blah 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 blah. Nope. Other wide running backs, blah, 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 blah. Nope. Defensive backs, blah, 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 blah. Not really. Jalen Mills, only guy still around. Now, their first-round picks since 2010, minus 2015, that was Nelson Aguilar. Brandon Graham, they moved up to get him. They selected him over Earl Thomas, if we all remember. Brandon Graham has had an okay career. Yes, he has the biggest play in Eagles history. Big deal. He's been okay. He has a high motor. Awesome guy, great teammate. He's an above-average defensive end. Danny Watkins, he's putting out fire somewhere. Fletcher Cox, I would consider him a stud, but still a little overrated, in my opinion. Lane Johnson, stud. That was Chip Kelly's first year here. Marcus Smith, complete bust. Nelson Aguilar, that was a Chip Kelly pick. Carson Wentz. I give him an incomplete, but I still consider him a stud. But he gets an incomplete because he can't stay on the field. And forget about... People say, you label him injury prone. He's not in the injury prone. I call him... Call him a cab, call him a taxi, call him a tow truck, call him a piece of corner on the cob. Call it whatever you want. He hasn't been around for the last three postseasons. All right? So he's incomplete, but he is a stud. Derek Barnett, basically average to a stiff. Andre Dillard, we're going to find out. We're going to find out what Andre Dillard is made up and how good that pick was this year, because Jason Peters, I believe, is going somewhere else. Andre Dillard will take over. Big responsibility to take the backside of Carson Wentz. I'm holding my breath, man. I'm holding my breath. He's not quite a rookie, but he's basically a rookie. We're going to find out, because he's going to be facing a lot of defensive ends, some good defensive ends, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence and the like, this season, and he's going to have to keep Carson Wentz upright. He made it through 16 games last year. Very good, Carson Wentz. And then he made it through 8 plays in the postseason and still didn't play. We had to withstand Josh McCown for basically 3 quarters and 10 minutes. And we know how that worked out. That is another issue that they have not solved, because they have some holes. They have a whole wide receiver or two, offensive line depth as well. They took care of one cornerback. They need to take care of another cornerback. They need linebacker help. And they need a backup quarterback. Forget about Nate Sudfeld. One of the most important positions on this team in particular is the backup quarterback. Why? Because you can't trust QB1. You can't trust him. They needed to have a quarterback, a backup quarterback, good enough to win a Super Bowl. And it happened. Doesn't happen often. Forget about Josh McCown. Forget about Case Keenum. He sold his soul to the Browns. That would have been my pick. How about Joe Flacco? I'd love to see Joe Flacco here as a backup. He's done in Denver. Sign Joe Flacco here to a backup contract. Then if Carson Wentz goes down, you have a guy who's won a Super Bowl before. Yeah, he's kind of underachieved since, but he's won a Super Bowl. 11 touchdowns, 0 picks in 2012 when they beat the Broncos. 11 touchdowns, 0 picks. The guy can sling it. If nothing else, he's good enough to be a backup quarterback. Bring Joe Flacco in here. Wow, 9:23 already. Got to take a break. All right, Mike, Charles, hang in there. Get you on the other side. It's Joe Stazak, Steve Callis from Callis Remarks. My podcast partner coming up at 10:10. Marcus Hayes from the Philadelphia Inquirer coming up at 11 and 10. I'm here till noontime today. I appreciate everyone hanging with me. Good morning, Philadelphia. I'll be back, and I'm here till 12 o'clock. My name is Joe Stazak, 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back. Good morning, everybody. 9:29 here at 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe Stazak in the house. Sports Armageddon continues. It is day 10, let's say. How you making out? I'm struggling, but when I'm here, I'm having a good time with all y'all. Dealing with COVID-19. Why is it COVID-19, by the way? When did COVID-18 come along and disappear?
So it's actually by year. So because it originated in 2019.
That's why?
Yeah, that's why.
Thank you. Okay. I did not know that. All right. So it's COVID-19. Now it's COVID-20, I guess. So we're still dealing with that. I wanted to throw this out there because I haven't gotten any response, much response from last night when I said, what's your go-to activity? Mine is usually something on television or the gym. The gym's closed till further notice. I have a gym in my basement. It's not quite the same, but it's okay. And I when I get away from sports, I watch the ID channel. I like watching, you know, true crime. I like watching a show that has less people alive at the end than in the beginning. And usually that works for me. I'm so tired of watching all those shows. I think I've watched them all. I've watched all 30 for 30s like three or four times. I am done. But let me say this. Let's just say, God forbid, this becomes the bubonic plague and wipes us out for a while. I don't mean like kills everyone for a while, but shuts us down for a long period of time. I want you to think about something you would put in a time capsule. And maybe, God forbid, it does. It wipes out, you know, it's like global thermonuclear war, and it kind of wipes out most of the world. But you do have a time capsule that was protected. A sports play, a sports game, a sports call that you would put in the time capsule that you would like someone to hear later on and maybe share in your joy. Or your misery. I guess it could be something miserable. I'm trying to keep this positive. And I thought long and hard. I have tons of them that I would put in there, but one that's somewhat recent happened, it's almost 4 years ago already. And because I missed the tournament so much, this was April 2nd, 2016. Connor hit it.
They go length of the court with Archie Diacono. 3 seconds at midcourt. Jenkins gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
Can't get enough. Sorry. Got the chills. My hair is standing up on my arms on that one. Jim Nance, who I like. He's okay. Does a great job. He was Freddie Couples' roommate in college. He's from Houston. He was on a lot on that Five Slamma Jamma show. It was cool watching really, really, really old shots of him doing interviews. And he's good. Look, and he's great. He's Jim Nance. He's a legend. But I've never gotten into his calls. It's been okay. It's been fine. You know, a tradition like no other, whatever he calls it, the Masters, blah, blah, blah. He does a fine job. That was a great call. That was a great call. I don't care what his name was. That was a great... In fact, it was such a great call. Connor, can you play that again? Hit it again.
They go length of the court with Archie Diacono. 3 seconds at midcourt. Jenkins gives it to Jenkins for the championship. The national champions with Jenkins hitting the winner at the buzzer.
If it's up to me, I'd be playing that for the next 2.5 hours. And if my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, didn't erase the game, I'd be watching it at home, trying to fill some airtime. But it is what it is. Maybe they'll replay it again. I'll catch it. But I thought Jim Nance, I thought it was one of the great calls. And, of course, it was my squad. And I can't tell you the range of emotions when my team has a 10-point lead with 4:45 left in the game and the ball. Let me repeat that. 10-point lead, 4:45 left, and the ball. And they end up having to hit that shot with no time left because Marcus Paige, this ridiculous, Daniel Esheffo almost steals the ball. Archie Diacono comes, waves a hand in his face. Marcus Paige pulls the ball down for North Carolina, throws it up, and buries a three-pointer to tie the game. I almost threw up. I was ill. I was ill after that. So you can imagine the range of emotions when Jenkins hits that shot. Just incredible. And then, of course, icing on the cake. They won 2 years later with Jalen Brunson leading the way. Would have been interesting to see how they would have played this year with Sadiq Bey and Colin Gillespie. I think next year, I don't think they would have. They might have done some damage, Sweet 16, maybe Elite 8. I think next year's their year if this COVID-19, COVID-20 goes away and we have tournament action again. Yo, so we shall see. But anyway, we've been talking about Howie Roseman and how he needs to draft much better because his free agency this past season has been Couple nice picks, but he has to do more, in my opinion. Let's go to Mike in King of Prussia. He's been hanging around on, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Mike?
Hey, I'm always hanging around, Joe.
You my man.
Oh, buddy. See, this is how upset Howie makes my son.
We should have that as a drop.
No. So, here's my thing. I think what you said, basically, you could do a whole show on how Howie's kind of mucked up this team and how he has to try and use free agency to cover up all his screw-ups in the draft, right?
Yeah.
So, and we've talked about this at length, that Howie's not good at identifying talent. And there's going to be a guy who comes on after me who's going to talk a ray of sunshine like this is like Howie's some amazing GM, but he's not. He's not good at this. He's not good at evaluating talent. He doesn't have the right people around him. You could do a whole thesis on the 2017 draft about how bad it was that he can't identify talent. And look at what we still need on this team. Priority-wise, we need a top-flight wide receiver to pair with our quarterback.
Yep.
We need a backup running back because we only have one, maybe two on the team at this point. We need a backup offensive tackle, a swing offensive lineman. We need linebackers.
Linebackers, you're right. You're absolutely right.
We need another cornerback because Sidney Jones is a failure. And people that keep talking him up, he's a failure. He's a failure.
He's a bust.
And we need another safety for the future because we don't know. Well, both of our safeties are one of our safeties isn't going to be here much longer, and the other one is on a one-year prove-it contract.
Yep.
We have holes everywhere, and we only have 8 picks in the draft, and I don't trust Howie to fill it. Like, I swear, you could do a whole 4-hour show on how Howie has screwed this team up.
You heard me go over his draft selections, did you?
Oh, yeah, and the thing about Donnell Pumphrey was, that was the best running back draft possibly ever, and he comes away with the one running back who can't run.
The one guy who can't run.
And then the thing about Sidney Jones is you could have had Juju Smith-Schuster, Alvin Kamara, or there was one other running, the guy that Kareem Hunt. You could have had all those talent, and you could have solidified so many holes on your team. But Howie had to be the smartest guy in the room and took a cornerback with a career-threatening injury. Like, these are the things that make me so upset, and that's why Charles in the Northeast can just suck it for all these awful positive takes he's always got.
He does have a lot of positive takes. Mike, I appreciate the call, man. In fact, this is Charles. I'm not sure if it's Charles from the Northeast, but he's on a cell phone. He's on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Charles?
It is, Joe. How you doing?
It is. How you doing, babe?
Joe, always great hearing you. Joe,
you too, pal.
Listen, we're not going to agree on this. The only thing I'll agree with you and Mike from King of Prussia on, does Howie have to draft better? Yeah, that's obvious. I agree with that. I think all Eagles fans agree with that. But you see, Joe, what I differ from you and Mike from King of Prussia is, and I don't think you guys give Howie enough credit for what he's done. When I come on here, I'm just giving you facts. He put together a Super Bowl team, and whether he did it with free agents, no matter how he did it, the Eagles won the Super Bowl in 2017. That's a fact. They've been to the playoffs 3 years in a row. That's a fact. They won 2 out of 3 division titles. That's a fact. But you see, Joe, Howie seems to be damned if he does, damned if he doesn't, whether it be by you or a lot of other Howie haters like Mike, because look at the Malcolm Jenkins situation. Now, he gets rid of Malcolm Jenkins, right? But Howie's been criticized over the last couple of years because he's kept too many of the veterans of the Super Bowl team, which may be true, even though most of them could still play. The biggest one was Jason Peters. But the fact of the matter is that Howie's right on this one. You don't guarantee Malcolm Jenkins 2 years. Joe, a big reason why the Eagles struggled in pass defense over the last couple of years is Malcolm Jenkins. He can't cover anymore. He was a hybrid linebacker the last couple of years. Now, listen, I love Malcolm. Malcolm actually was better in his first half, his first 3 years in the Eagles, than he was the last 3 years. And the leadership thing, listen, the Eagles have more than enough leaders on that team. The Eagles are going to be fine in leadership. Listen, don't miss Malcolm. Malcolm was a leader, but there's other guys. That's what a team is. When you have a culture of winning, which the Eagles do now, and that's culture, like from King of Prussia, is under Howie Roseman. The fact of the matter is, it's a culture of winning because you have more than one guy that steps up. Now, Joe, let me say about the Carson Wentz thing again. We debated about this before. But again, Joe, you're entitled to your opinion, but you're not entitled to the facts. He's completed 2 seasons. Last year, he completed the whole year. Willed the Eagles to the playoffs, and he gets cheap shot up by Jadeveon Clowney. Now, you can say, okay, he didn't finish the year, and technically you are right, but, I mean, what happened to Carson Wentz could have happened to any football player. You know that. Listen, Joe, I know you're not the biggest Carson guy either, but the fact is Carson made it through last year, and the fact is he got cheap shot. So I think when people bury Howie, bury Carson, I think you're being, once I'm king of Prussia, I hate to tell you, you're being short-sighted because, okay, you're looking at the flaws. But guess what? The accomplishments on Howie Roseman far outweigh the flaws. And I think the same thing is true with Carson Wentz. The accomplishments on both of these men outweigh the flaws.
Charles, if every Eagle player had your enthusiasm, we'd win a Super Bowl every year. I appreciate it, pal. Great talking to you, bud.
Have a good one, Joe.
You have a great day. Thanks, Charles. I always appreciate him chiming in on my Facebook stories as well. I used to write stories. I still write them for the website. We don't agree on a ton, but that's fine. I like smart people who disagree with me. I like passionate people who disagree with me. That's fine. Let me hear your take. I don't hate Carson Wentz, and there's a misnomer around this place especially. People think I'm a Carson Wentz hater. I'm not. I wish nothing but good things for Carson Wentz. I hope he turns out to be a Super Bowl winning quarterback. My thing was, and Charles said it, that technically I'm right, I was thrilled he made it through 16 games. Thrilled. And he didn't get banged up hardly at all. Like, hardly at all. He made it through 16 games. You can call it a cheap shot. Looked like a cheap shot to me. Jadeveon Clowney. The fact is he didn't make it through the postseason. It's just a fact. I don't even want to go back into how it happened. The fact is it did happen, and it's not an outlier. If you look at the two previous years, he's been injured as well. Now this, okay, I'll give him some slack. He made it through 16 games, was a cheap shot. Fact remains, he didn't make it through the postseason again. And that's my issue. And that's my concern. And I know the organization is getting frustrated with it because, listen, he's the guy. He's supposed to lead. He's 4 years in. He's going into his fifth year. Going into his fifth year, he's taking 8 snaps in the postseason. In his fifth year. And the Eagles have won a Super Bowl and have been to 3 other playoff games. Think about that. But I do wish nothing but good things for Carson Wentz. And I am thrilled, Charles, I must tell you, yes, you are correct. He made it through the regular season. I'm happy about that because I was concerned that he wouldn't. Again, that story I wrote at the beginning of the year that came under a lot of scrutiny was, you know, is he clutch? Can he stay healthy? He stayed healthy through 16. Call it a cheap shot. Call it what you want. It's unfortunate he didn't make it through the postseason. We got to take another break. Wow. All right. Steve Callis at 1010. Bubs from Wildwood Crest. You hang in there, my friend. I'll get you on the other side. Again, we have some open lines right now. 610-632-0975. Joe Stasak, 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hello.
Hello, Bernie, wherever you are. I haven't heard from you in a while. 948 here at 97.5, The Fanatic. Having a good time with all y'all? Again, we're talking about Howie Roseman. We're talking about how important the upcoming draft is. Because what did he do in free agency so far? Well, let's take a look in case you missed it. He brought in safety Will Parks, local kid from the Broncos, 1-year deal, prove it to me. signed Hassan Ridgeway again, defensive tackle. His two biggest moves is he brought in from Pittsburgh nose tackle Javon Hargrave for 3 years, $39 million, 26 guaranteed. Next time around, I want to be a nose tackle. Jesus, 3 years, $39 million, 26 guaranteed. Signed Rodney McLeod again to a two-year deal. Okay, he was banged up a little bit last year. We'll see, $12 million. Jalen Mills, another year, worth up to $5 million. They're moving him to safety. And, of course, Darius Slay, the big move, traded for a third and a fifth-round pick this year. So they went from 10 picks to 8 picks, 3 years, $50 million extension, $30 million guaranteed. Nate Sudfeld, a one-year deal, who cares? Because I think they need a different backup quarterback. In fact, they proved that last year when, I mean, all the talk is they love Nate Sudfeld so much. That's why they had to bring in Josh McCown in case. And he played in the postseason, played pretty well with a torn hamstring, God bless him. And, of course, linebacker Jatavis Brown from the San Diego Chargers signed him to a one-year deal. Now, gone. See, if you look at that, they signed some of their own guys. They brought in Darius Slay. He's going to be a help at corner, I would think. You know, I can't help but have in the back of my head Byron Maxwell and Nnamdi Asamoah, but I do like Darius Slay, Javon Hargrave, which I have a little bit of an issue with. Not him. I think it's a phenomenal move. But in the last 2 years, Howie has tried to do the same thing. Tim Jernigan. Put him next to Fletcher Cox, gets hurt. Brings in Malik Jackson, puts him next to Fletcher Cox, gets hurt. Here we go. Javon Hargrave, puts him next to Fletcher Cox. We shall see. Now, they lost Big V, and God bless Big V for what he is, what he was, what he does. 5 years, $50 million from Detroit. He must have pictures of somebody. 5 years, $50 million for Big V, who was basically a backup here and a much maligned backup here, except he did play well in the Super Bowl. So I will give him some latitude there. Jordan Howard, everyone knows how I feel about Jordan Howard. They have Boston Scott behind Miles Sanders right now in their depth chart. I thought Jordan Howard could have been the lead back with Miles Sanders or vice versa, but maybe Jordan Howard wants more playing time, wants to be the guy. He's going to be the guy in Miami, two years, $10 million. I hope he does well. 30 touchdowns in 3.5 seasons. Thought that was a phenomenal pickup last year by Howie Roseman. He's no longer here. Malcolm Jenkins gone. Signed a four-year, $32 million deal with New Orleans, $16.25 million guaranteed, a maximum value of $35 million signed in a contract that was, he was given $9 million in signing bonus. So in his first 2 years, he makes $16 million plus nine, so it's $25 million in his first 2 years. Maybe a little too rich for the Eagles' blood. And I get it. He's been on the downside. He's not the playmaker he was. They've had so few playmakers in that defensive secondary. He's been one of them, but he hasn't been the last couple of years. But certainly a great leader and one of the great all-time free agent signings in Eagles history. Malcolm Jenkins, ladies and gentlemen, think about that. Go over all the great signings in Eagles history, and you know, a couple of them, he was one of them. He's right up there. Malcolm Jenkins, what a great signing. Nigel Bradham, their best linebacker, they released, makes too much money. Nelson Aguilar, at least their best receiver that was still left standing, is gone. I'm fine with that. He was making $9 million a year. Now he's going to take his talents to Vegas and play for John Gruden. Corey Clement, they let him become an unrestricted free agent. Unfortunately, since his Super Bowl season, he's been banged up. I thought he was a great find. I thought he was one of the things that Howie did in 2017 that turned magical, because everything he touched in 2017 worked out, and that's why they won a Super Bowl, not through his drafting, through his free agency and his signing of trades. Jason Peters also probably gone. They wrote that letter and said, you know, we're both probably looking to go other directions. So maybe Andre Dillard is your man at left tackle. God willing, he can protect Carson Wentz's blind side. Carson Wentz did prove he could stay healthy through 16 games. And I'll even give it to you. Okay, cheap shot. You know, it wasn't like he broke his back. It wasn't like he tore up his knee. It wasn't like he cracked his rib or broke his wrist. A little bit of a cheap shot. However, Marcus Hayes, who's coming on our 11-10, wrote that he should have gotten rid of the football and not put himself in that position. And that's what Carson Wentz does, to put himself in those positions. And maybe we'll talk to Marcus Hayes a little bit more about that when he comes on at 11-10. Steve Callis coming on at 10-10. So that's what Howie has done. I think the team is not quite as good as they were before free agency began. That's why I think it's so critical, ultra critical, that they have a good draft. And because free agency to me was okay, I think they needed to make a bigger splash. They needed to get a wide receiver. I don't know what happened to Hopkins. He ends up in Buffalo, which is unbelievable. Buffalo gives four picks, and he doesn't end up at Buffalo. He ends up in Arizona with Kyler Murray, and Kyler Murray now has Andre Hopkins to work with, and the Texans have David Johnson and a couple of picks. Have no idea what happened there. Apparently there was a little bit of a rift between coach and receiver, which is unbelievable, because DeAndre Hopkins is one of the best receivers in the league. And forget about him bringing his baby mamas around. You're just looking for excuses at that point. And comparing a meeting with him to a meeting you had with Aaron Hernandez, a murderer, a former murderer. I guess you could just say he's a murderer, and he was. I think he was guilty of murdering a couple more people in Boston, but that's neither here nor there at this point. He was acquitted of that. But anyway, to compare him to Aaron Hernandez is just irresponsible on Bill O'Brien's part. And Bill O'Brien, in my opinion, should have been fired about 4 years ago. No, I still don't know how he made it with Bill Belichick on that coaching staff, but he's been hanging around Houston and hanging around Houston. He's been given all kinds of power. He's the GM. He's the coach. He blew a 24-point lead in the postseason last year to the Chiefs. That should never happen. I don't care who you're playing. And we got to take a break. 610-632-0975. Bubs, hang in there. I'll get you on the other side. A couple open phone lines right now. Joe Stazak, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.